vinavadhi dharmastuma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasadi gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Vyasadeva, okay, page 98. Srila Vyasadeva can accomplish this task because he's an avatar of the Lord, and as such, spontaneously possesses perfect knowledge. Quote, indeed, you are the plenary portion of the Lord Himself, the very reason for your appearance in this world, even though you are birthless. Appearance in this world, even though you're birthless, is more vividly. Okay, the very reason for your appearance in this world, even though you're birthless, is to more vividly describe the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Tapasya, Vedic knowledge, performance of sacrifice, chanting hymns, yes? I think we did it last time, didn't we? Yeah, I think that's where we... Tapasya, Vedic study, performance of sacrifice, chanting hymns, and giving charity culminate in the glorification of Lord Uttama Shloka. This is the conclusion of those who truly know the Vedic purpose. 21:22. Okay, so here, tapasya, Vedic study, performance of sacrifice, chanting hymns and giving charity culminate in glorification of Lord Uttama Shloka. So that's the what you're supposed to be doing. In other words, what it is that the Vedas recommend is what should be done. But the reason for doing it is that it culminates in worship of the Lord. The difficulty is there, is in the Mahabharata, is that it's recommending tapasya, Vedic study, performance of sacrifice, all these proper pious activities, and it's showing so many examples why it should be done. Right? Different personalities, how they did, how they perfected their life, everything like that. So it all works very nicely. But then the difficulty comes up is that having done that, it's left at that. And they think that, you know, job's well done. Well, here he's pointing out is that they're actually meant for devotional service. That's the real reason for pious activities, right? In other words, the reason for having high quality, items or facility is service to the Lord, right? But people are not necessarily cultured, so you're trying to get them cultured. So in getting them cultured, they focus so much on upgrading the standard that they forget why you're doing that, because you upgrade the standard because then you have something nicer to offer to the Lord. Does that make sense? You know, just like the whole point is you're supposed to be engaged in service to the Lord, but people are uncultured, so you try to get them cultured so that their moral, their ethic, you know, justice, you know, there's some economic development, they're not just harassing each other all the time. And so to get them to come to a standard where they can have a proper or a comfortable situation to serve the Lord, the focus being on the pranamoy so much, then they think that that's religion. Well, religion's still another step ahead. And even that, then ahead of that is liberation. But the point is, ahead of that is devotion. Right? So the whole idea is wherever you focus, it's only useless when it's connected to the Lord. If it's not connected to the Lord, it's not. So therefore, your Vedic study, from study you're going to perform sacrifice, right? Sacrifice means the performance of your prescribed duties. Doing that, there'll be tapasya. Right? In other words, tapasya is just performing your duties despite the situation, right? The performance of your duty, that's the proper mentality. The tapasya is having to apply that in whatever situation you're in. Right? You don't have to go out of your way for tapasya. It comes automatically. Right? That's the whole thing, right? Chanting hymns and giving charity. So then chanting hymns, that means then you're, means one is the Vedic mantras are being chanted. That means there's purification. That means there's study, all these different elements. But also then in the Indian performance, the chanting of Hare Krishna. Of all the hymns, chanting of japa is the most important, right? So it means for us, japa, kirtan, like that. Does that make sense? And giving in charity means you have, you find, you think you need a certain amount. When you get it, then you'll find that actually you don't need that much. So when you get that, then whatever's extra, give in charity. That's the first principle, right? Mm-hmm. Now, why it recommends 50% is because people make way beyond 50%. So at least they get 50%, right? The guy's making $1 billion. Does he need $1 billion? No. How much is the most expensive house, most expensive car? He knocks himself out. There's nothing left to buy. He still has money left over, right? So therefore, at least ideally 50% he should be giving in charity, right? But he could probably give about 90% in charity and do fine, you know? Does that make sense? Because they have the nature to create that much. So the problem's not that you're generating a lot. Sometimes you say, oh, you're making too much. No, you can never make too much. But the point is along with it, you can never give in charity too much also. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. The more you make, the greater the proportion. Because you can make more, then you have more facility. You know, it's not like everybody has to be the same. No, it's everybody according to what they actually can do. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole idea is that it's all about the Supreme Lord. But we see is that what the Vedas are giving us, that essence is within the devotional process. Because we know about these things from devotional service. We don't generally know about these from a pious background. You know what I'm saying? One or two may. But other than that, it's just you don't know about it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, tapasya, what's that? Is that like a theme park or something? Like that? Oh, you mean the one in, what do you call it? Orlando. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's like...
like a TV dinner.
Yeah, TV dinner, you know, yeah, something like that, you know. Some kind of, you know, exotic, you know, let's say Hawaiian drink or something. Yeah, something. Yeah, with pineapple, yeah, okay. When the so-called... someone just told me yesterday that the pineapples that they grow in Hawaii, because they grow like unlimited pineapples. They export them all. Okay. And then the ones that are sold in Hawaii are imported from Maine. Right? Yeah, yeah. There's something wrong here. When the so-called material knowledge is connected to the Lord, it becomes spiritualized. The same body of knowledge, however, disconnected from its spiritual source and purpose, is nothing but ignorance. This is explained by Srila Prabhupada's purport to 1.5.22. When advancement of knowledge is applied in the service of the Lord, the whole process becomes absolute. The personality of Godhead and His transcendental name, fame, glory, etc., are all non-different from Him. Therefore, all the sages and devotees of the Lord have recommended that the subject matter of art, science, philosophy, physics, chemistry, psychology and all other branches of knowledge should be wholly and solely applied to the service of the Lord. Art, literature, poetry, painting, etc. may be used in glorifying the Lord. The fiction writers, poets, and celebrated literatures are generally engaged in writing of sensuous subjects. But if they turn towards the service of the Lord, they can describe the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Valmiki was a great poet, and similarly, Vyasadeva was a great writer, and both of them have absolutely engaged themselves in delineating the transcendental activities of the Lord. By doing so, have become immortal. Similarly, science and philosophy also should be applied in the service of the Lord. There is no use presenting dry speculative theories for sense gratification. Philosophy and science should be engaged to establish the glory of the Lord. Right? It means it's to establish the glory of the Lord. Not, it means not as a method to find the Lord. Right? You know, because it won't. You know. Or especially to show say he's not there. Advanced people are eager to understand the absolute truth through the medium of science, and therefore a great scientist should endeavor to prove the existence of the Lord on a scientific basis. Similarly, philosophical speculations should be utilized to establish the supreme truth as sentient and all-powerful. Similarly, all other branches of knowledge should always be engaged in the service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, also the same is affirmed. All, quote-unquote, knowledge not engaged in the service of the Lord is but nescience. Real utilization of advanced knowledge is to establish the glories of the Lord. And that is the real import. Scientific knowledge engaged in the service of the Lord and all similar activities are all factually Hari Kirtan or glorification of the Lord. So the point is all these things are the Lord's energy. Right? All knowledge is the Lord's energy. So it's not that it's not connected to the Lord. The reason it's working is because it's connected to the Lord. But the point is you don't get any benefit unless you connect it to the Lord. Right? That's the whole thing. Everything is Krishna's energy. So there's no such thing as anything separate from Krishna. But the point is there is what is connected with the Lord through his Brahman and Paramatma features. And there's what's connected to the Lord in his Bhagavan feature. What's connected to the Bhagavan feature, that's direct devotional service. So therefore, it is non-different from him. Right? It's just him and it's an expansion. Right? So those activities, whether you connect them or not, you're getting benefit. If they're coming from bona fide source, of course. But the other ones, then they are connected to the Lord, but you don't get benefit unless you connect it. You know, spiritual benefit. You'll get material benefit, yes, but you won't get spiritual benefit unless you connect it. Because that's the essential point, is that it's not that you could say, no, but everything's connected to the Lord, yes, but unless you connect it, you don't get the benefit. It's nice to say these things, but the point is you actually have to do it. And as Prabhupada points out, everything can be connected like that. It's just a matter of how to do it nicely. In his commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur enriches our understanding by giving an additional meaning to this verse. Narad Muni says, I have said that one becomes successful by bhakti after giving up all dharmas. Now, if some devotee has some desire for some dharmas, those dharmas will be produced by bhakti. That is now explained. The result of austerity and other acts are achieved by bhakti, according to the statement of the Lord, and thus, what is their necessity? Everything can be achieved by karma, penance, jnana, vairagya, mystic yoga. Oh, no, everything that can be achieved by karma, penance, jnana, vairagya, mystic yoga, charity, dharma, and all other auspicious means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through bhakti. If somehow or other my devotee desires svarga, liberation, or residence in my abode, he easily achieves such benedictions. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20, 32-33. One should always remember Vishnu and never forget him. All injunctions and prohibitions are dependent on these two principles. Padma Purana. According to these, all dharmas are unnecessary. Right? So in other words, what do we mean here, dharma? Dharma means the nature of something. Right? So that nature that cannot be changed, the inherent nature, the God-given nature of something, that's dharma. So there's so many dharmas are there. There's the nature of everything. Right? The nature of the cockroach, the nature of a wombat, the nature of your bathtub. Everything has a nature. Right? So the point is those things are only useful in connection with Krishna. Right? We've been showing it from that side. But now Vishwanath is showing the same thing from the other direction. Is that whatever benefit you would get from these other things, you'll get from devotional service. In fact, it's through devotional service if you actually want the physical dharma or that experience of that dharma, you'll get it. Because all the things that get these things are already included. Right? What was that? Yes. Karma means activity in Krishna consciousness is already there. So whatever benefits you can get from karma are already included. So for the karmi, he wants either immediate or future fruitive results. So therefore, the activities of Krishna consciousness can award that. Right? Penance. Then your, how you say, the engaging in whatever benefits means that power that is gained from penance, then is same thing as gained by the activities of devotional service. Because in performing your duties, there's always some difficulty. And so therefore, you know, soldiering on through that difficulty, whatever benefits you get from that power all come automatically. Jnana, the knowledge in devotional service, since that's the origin of knowledge, is the Lord and His devotees and that devotion between them. That means any other branch of knowledge will naturally can be cultivated or nourished from that knowledge. Right? Because, yeah. Vairagya, that you're any benefit you give from giving up something, you're already giving everything up for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Mystery, yes.
Mixed devotional service.
Yeah, so in other words, what he's defining is mixed devotional service. It means you want something, so you don't. His point is that you don't have to separately endeavor for it. Right? It comes automatically. Just like, let's say, you want a new, how you say, extension on the house, right? So the point is you don't have to separately endeavor to make the extension on the house to have the extension on the house. You have to, you know, you just chant your rounds and it'll come out of it. All that work you were doing, going out collecting, getting contracts, you could have just chanted your japa. It would have come anyway, right? See, that's how, no, means, but the point is why have it? Now that's the problem. So the problem is not making it for Krishna. The problem is why you should have it for Krishna. Right? That's the real kicker, right? You know. So in other words, making it for Krishna, you automatically have it. That's the point. You know, you like to build things for Krishna, then you know you build it for Krishna, and then afterwards you have it. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. In other words, cooking for Krishna, you end up with something to eat. That's his point. It's not a separate endeavor. You don't have to cook, and then I have something to eat, and then I'll cook for Krishna. You understand? That's what devotees are thinking. No, I have to go out, have my job, get my money, take care of my family, and then I'll do things for Krishna. No, just doing everything for Krishna, you automatically have it. Like that. That's the whole point. Why have the family if it's not somehow or another connected to Krishna? Right, so therefore you have the job to make the money to take care of the family for Krishna. So then it all becomes connected. It's not a separate endeavor. But we'll take it and separate it. You know, standard, how you say, impersonal, you know, how you say, Mayavadi methods, is that you separate, right? Because even though they claim to be monists, they're actually dualists. You know? We're the monists, right? You know, we know it's all Krishna. They don't know that, because to them, it can't be Krishna, so therefore it has to be illusion, so it's all, it's two. And for us, no, it's all Krishna, so it's all one. Right? That's funny, right? Yes, we can turn it completely around, right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, if you have a desire for it, it'll be produced by the bhakti.
Yes.
Because the point is let's look at another thing, just another side of it. Just since we're looking at if he has a desire for a dharma. He's not a dharma, but dharma. Like that. It was much easier when he could use those old terminologies. Like, he is an Vaishnava. Yes, he's a great Vaishnava. You mean like Ramachandra Khan? Yeah, something like that. So... Yeah, I can't even remember what I was going to talk about.
It sounded good.
Yeah, no, but let me get up, yeah. Desire for some dharma. Yeah, no, because it's been explained that there was something.
Extension in the house.
No, we already did that. You just have to chant Joppa and it'll happen. Right? In other words, she chants Joppa, the husband will go out and get the money and get the make it done. That's how, so she just has to perform bhakti.
That's what the band is doing now.
Huh? Yes. Just like Ramsey said, let it be recorded. Let it be recorded. Okay. Okay. Easily perceived. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, now it's starting to come. Okay. Is that even you want it? But the point is, oh, that was it. Okay. Now, let's say you want this Dharma. But now the question actually comes up, do you actually have the material karma to have it? You know, because there's a good chance you don't. Like, take the devotee living in the West. Okay? He's living there, he's got his job, he's got his place, he's very much integrated into the rat race there, right? How many devotees in the West do you know have servants? Paid servants. Right? Huh? Yeah. Did I say you know some? That actually in the West, living in the West, they have servants? Ambarish, okay. Anybody else comes to mind? Huh?
Only one Ambarish
for all our society. Yeah, yeah. So the whole society. I mean, you know, this in Bombay, okay, that's another thing. But, you know, but I'm saying in the West, they don't have it. But when they come to India, how many of the Westerners have servants? Everybody, you know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? So the whole point is it would be cheaper to buy a washing machine, I'm telling you. You know, so the whole point is they have servants, right?
People have both now, washing machine.
And servant, yeah. And the servant runs the washing machine, right? You know? And now they need a servant, the man is the servant that does the washing machine. Like that.
Get a dishwasher also, you've
got to
have many.
So then the point comes is making your own endeavor separately for it, you won't get it. It's just not going to happen. But if you connect that to Krishna and do it through devotional service, then devotional service you have the qualifications for. Right? Then we may see, as Krishna likes to give according to the mentality, then you'll get it. You understand? So actually it's only through devotional service that these mixed desires the devotee has are actually obtainable. Does that make sense? Yeah. Shouldn't they go away?
I was more devotional service. I was more devotional service. Those mixed desires.
Yes, yes. So in other words, like this. So in other words, we're working on making the extension to the house, right? You know, so somebody's chanting, somebody's working, right? And so the devotional service is going on, and then the house gets extended. It's all there nicely. You have it, and because it was devotional service, and because the heart is purified, then we find when we wake up in the morning and go downstairs, the extension is gone. Right? Because devotional service removes all material desire. Is that what you were talking about?
Almost.
Oh, then, okay, then take another angle, right? Yeah, okay. No one minds. Okay, then you had this, you had so much desire and need for the extension, but because now you extended, the heart's been purified, you actually, though you still have it, it didn't disappear. Then you just thought it disappeared because you went out the wrong door, right? You know, so that it's actually there. But now you don't have the desire for it, right? So now you can either use it nicely in Krishna's service, or you can rent it. Because that desire hasn't gone away yet.
Right? Transfer.
Yeah. You understand this? So the point is the desires will go away. So it's just like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom. And so then when he comes to the point of getting it, then he finds, actually, that's not what I want. But it doesn't mean it doesn't mean that he doesn't engage it, because it's his nature. Right? In other words, why would you want items in a certain category? Because they're connected with one's conditioning. Right? It means Dhruva Maharaj is a Kshatriya, so Kshatriyas have kingdoms. So therefore, whether he has a kingdom for himself or a kingdom to please Krishna, the point is, as a Kshatriya, that is going to be the activity. That's going to be the service. So what happens is the need for it goes away for yourself. Then it simply becomes a medium of expression of service to Krishna. So that's what it means. Devotional service, you're still left with the same things. But now it's for Krishna instead of for yourself. So the devotional service itself generates these things. It's not being generated by karma. Because if it was up to karma, then, you know, who would have the facilities they have? Right? You know, where some, you know, schnook down at, you know, the office with every other, you know, white collar worker, you know, and fun, some funny little thing like this. And then we join Krishna consciousness, and now, you know, nobody cares about us. We've been there. We've been there 10 years. The guy next to us moved up. You know, we didn't. Just no one notices us. We go to the little, you know, the thing with the water, and no one notices us. We go, you know, hey, boy, you're new here? And so, you mean, I've been here 10 years, you know, like this. You know, no one knows. But then he becomes a devotee, and then he becomes, you know, a department head, a temple president, something like that. It's not his karma. He doesn't have the karma for that. Right? Does that make sense? Because if he had the karma for that, he'd be the CEO of a company, he joins Krishna consciousness, he becomes the temple president, you know, he gets distracted, he goes back out and becomes the CEO. Right? No. They're sitting there, you know, sitting on the sidewalk. You know, the Harinam goes by. They join. They become this, that, big, this, that. Then if they leave, they go back to sitting on the sidewalk. That's the way it is. You understand? So it's not the good facility. The dharmas are generated by bhakti. They're not generated separately for the devotee. Yes.
So did you have for our dharma?
No, I said for a dharma. So that's the problem with English, is that by nature being a Malecha language, it's perfect for, you know, Malechaness. Like that, you know. So if you want to find fault in something, English is your language. You know, in a general way, you know, if you want to do it in a sophisticated way, then it's French. They can find faults in the nicest, you know, ways. It just, you know, it sounds so good. Yeah. You know. Does that make sense? You know, so English picks something up from there, you know, it's like that.
If
you have a desire for adharma, the point is the working principle, because we're going to do this quickly, because this technically is a first year, first six chapters of Gita question, is that the adharma element, but what makes anything work? It's still Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The lower aspect of that, that's the pollution of the consciousness. Right? The point is that the principle that you're looking for, you can't look for something that's outside of the higher qualities. You're looking for the higher quality in the adharma. The problem is you're looking in, why it's adharma is that the form that you want the higher quality in doesn't match the higher quality. Right? Let's take intoxication. What is somebody looking for? What are they actually looking for? Yeah, peace or happiness. So is happiness actually found in intoxication? No. So the form isn't, that's why it's adharma. But if they're focusing on what I want is that, then they'll become purified. But it's not that they won't get the reaction for the medium used. Just like if you use a pious medium in Krishna consciousness, you get the result of the pious medium. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You cook something very nice for Krishna. When you're finished, you have something nice. You cook something not nice for Krishna. Then when you finish, you have something not nice. The guy wasn't paying attention. He's on the phone. He's upset with this. He burns it. Then, you know, when you're finished, you have something burned. But that element of connecting it to Krishna, you also get the benefit that it's mixed. That's the whole point. So the aspect is not, oh, so can we use sinful activities in Krishna's service? But what does that mean? What does it mean, service? What is it that you're engaging? That's this whole science that we're trying to get into. We'll get into it more, this, you know, after we finish first canto. Second canto very much focuses on this, because that's what you're starting with. the matter that you see around you with your senses, that, how to connect that and see that connected to the Lord, just as a field to function with. Then we start talking in your third canto about the ways of devotion and using these things. You know what I'm saying? But the point is that the reason it's sinful is because what you're looking for, right? Meat eating, what are they looking for? Taste. Okay, but the point is that element of satisfying taste is not found in these other things. Right? So they don't match. You understand? So that's the difficulty. Right? Gambling, you want profit. You know? But the gambling process is not the method to make profit. Right? I don't know. James does great. But anybody other than him, they always lose. Right? Does that make sense? So, the thing, same with illicit sex, that excitement or what else would be looking for? But, you know, something is there that they're looking for. Right? So the point is that's not the way to get it. The way to get it is to be married. Then you get the benefits. Illicit sex, you don't get the benefits.
Intimacy, maybe. Hmm? Intimacy.
Intimacy, but the point is it's technically not yours. It's borrowed. So it'll be lost. Because what's always the thing about meat eating, I mean, anytime you get an experience of something, then the natural tendency in that moment is to think, you know, it's going on forever. It's eternal. Right? But you don't really, even though that thought may be there, in the poetics, you don't express that. You know what I'm saying? You don't hear it. Yes, you know, it was, the salad was so great, and we're there, and I wish that the taste of that salad should just go on eternally, right? You don't, they don't hear anybody use it like that. But within the I can still use it, right? The male female kind of interaction, right? Then there's that sense of eternity and all that. I don't think there's many known, you know, gay. But poetics on this thing, right?
There's, it's a different kind of poetics.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times you find out it's you know, it was about something like that, or someone was saying once as they found out that this great poem about the person was saying my desire, my need, and now that was about a sandwich. Everybody, you know, for centuries has been saying it's about, you know, this great romantic relationship between the boy and the girl, but at that moment, he wasn't talking about that. He was hungry and talking, you know, like that. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, Shakespeare was having a laugh, you know, so whatever it is. So.
I heard it about a beard. A romantic poem.
Okay, yes. But the point is that eternal element. So the point is that intimacy is not yours because it belongs to someone else. That's the whole point. So, therefore, that's why it's not. It's adharmic, because it doesn't match the nature, right? Because the point of it is illicit in public, can they be interactive? No. But can a married couple be interactive? Right? They can recognize it, they can be standing together, they can be introduced together. So that's dharmic. Does that make sense? Well, illicit is adharmic because it's against the nature. Does that make sense? So does that make sense? So that's the point with dharma. Adharma is, it can be engaged, but you actually have to know what you're dealing with. It means if you don't know what you're doing, engaging dharma, you'll have problem. Right? You'll get distracted and think, yes, I'm managing for Krishna, so it's all about the management. You've missed the point. You just said, the management is about Krishna, so therefore, then you've gotten off track. You were on track, and then you got off track. So if something religious can so easily get off track, you know, by its pious distraction, why wouldn't illicit elements be more distracting? You know what I'm saying? So one would have to be very, very intelligent and very focused to do it. So that means you would have to be nicely situated in devotional service. Therefore, you'd have to be, as Krishna says in the Gita, a sadhu. He has to be rightly situated. In other words, his devotional consciousness is rightly situated, though he's overwhelmed by the material desire. Therefore, he's still a sadhu. Does that make sense? So you're dealing with things that are so different than anything we've experienced in the material world since we've been here. That's the point. Devotional service is that something else? That's the thing. And everything else is just ordinary. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes? No? Okay. In this section of verses, at 8 to 22, Narad Muni revealed the crucial importance of devotional service, and how Vyasadeva's previous works did not emphasize that conclusion. Right? It's not that they didn't present it, but they didn't emphasize it. Right? Because that's the point. If it's not emphasized, it's not important. Right? It's not repeated, it's not important. Like, how many verses are pulled from Skanda Purana? The Acharyas pull verses. But it's a handful. And Skanda Purana has 100,000 verses. There's a handful of verses.
51,000.
Hmm?
I think
51,000. 51. One of them is 100,000. Maybe that's Linga. I don't know. One of them is. But it's, you know, it's huge.
It's still big.
Yeah, it's still big. It's like three times bigger than Bhagavatam. But it's got a handful of verses. So the point is, it's not that he hasn't said, but because it hasn't been repeated, it's not emphasized, it's not a, he's not made it obvious at the beginning and end, people don't catch it that that's the actual point. If devotional service is so precious, one should try his best to attain it. There is no cause for pure devotional service other than the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. Austerity, so that's the point. One should try his best to attain it, and the only cause you'll get it is the mercy. Mm-hmm. But you have to desire it. And even that desire has come by the mercy of the devotees. Right? So in other words, there's that mercy that is given to you just by that association. That's the causeless mercy. Then there's the mercy gained from your actual endeavor that you want it. Not that because you worked, it's because you're desiring it and therefore working to show that. Yes?
From this point, how would we say that the devotion service starts from mercy or from desire?
From mercy. Because you don't have the desire in the first place. You know, desire is there, but not necessarily for pure devotional service. You know? You know, like that. So the devotees like that. The devotees go by on Hari Nam. Say what you like about what they look like and this and that. It's effective.
Yes.
People get. Now you dress them up nicer, great. But you don't stop the Hari Nam because they're not dressed nicely. That's like saying, you know, oh, my child's sick and everything like that. You know, we need a doctor. Oh, but the doctor, you know, he can't take care of you and that because, you know, he's just sent his suit to the cleaners and all that. No, but he can come in his scrubs and all that. You know, no, we don't do that. It'll look bad. You know, you ever seen a doctor in public in scrubs? No, it just doesn't happen. So I'm sorry, we can't do it. So that's the actual foolishness that we fall into. The point is that causes mercy. How do people on the street get it? Okay, you go to a yoga studio. Is everybody in the yoga studio? You know what I'm saying? Who's in the yoga studio? Like that. There is a certain class of people in the yoga studio. And it's important to go there because that's where they are. But the point is what about everybody else? You go on the street with Hari Nam. You go out with the books. You do a festival. Your Ratha Yatras. You know, public programs. And all that. You get exposed to it. You know what I'm saying? New York. Even the taxi drivers have some element of appreciation of culture. You don't find that anywhere else in the world. I don't know if in Paris it's like that, but nowhere else that I know of, that there's an appreciation. Everywhere else, it's just taxi drivers. But in New York, even a taxi driver, you could start to talk about some cultural element, and they can, yeah, that was great. You know, because they have stuff out there. Central Park, they do fabulous, you know, high-grade stuff. It's not, and it's for free. It's open. It's just part of the scene. Right, so they're exposed. So if that can happen, you can. So why not the Hari Nam? Why not the devotional service? It has its effect. So that's then where it comes. Right? There may be an interest in knowing about the Supreme, but it was a desire. But it's still not spiritual. It's only just, you know, about, you don't even know what the Supreme is, to, you know, like that. But there's some idea. Then Krishna puts you in contact with the devotees. That then you contact the chit potency. Now you've actually had bhakti sukriti. Then that desire starts to rise. You understand? So, yes, there is an interest. But it wasn't because I had the interest, therefore I got... No, because you had the interest, you got the association of devotees. The devotees gave you the spiritual desire, because it wasn't spiritual before. It was spiritual-esque. You know, it wasn't actually spiritual. Because otherwise, with the mundane mind and intelligence, there can't be spiritual. You can't deal with it. But when it's empowered by the chit potency, then it can be a medium for. Does it make sense? So the association of the devotees is the causeless mercy. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Not that I was a seeker of the truth. Yes, and where did you seek? Yes. So, yes, let's not get into that. So therefore we can understand there was a sentiment. And so because of that, the Lord may have been pleased and put you in contact with the devotees, but then you have to take that and do something. Right? So many people contact the devotees, but they're not coming forward. Right? So they need many more contacts. So someone who contacts and then immediately, like I think it was Madhudvisa, he's just with his backpack, you know, he just heard that the San Francisco scene was happening. So he, you know, he headed out that way, and he's just walking through the park, just happens to be walking through the park. The Ratha Yatra is just then going by. He goes into the, you know, into the thing, a kirtan, thinks, hey, this is great, takes his backpack, throws it up on the cart, right, you know, so he doesn't, you know, lose it. And then, you know, goes to the end of the parade, the program and all that, when the devotees pack up, go back to the temple, he goes with them, you know, and that's it. You know, that was his... You know, yeah, maturing of Agyata Sukriti, that was it. You know, most people, they, you know, you hear them going a few times, you know, maybe at least taking a few weeks, or, you know, so this is just, you know, one program, you know, and at the program, it wasn't that after the program, that's great, and the next day, but no, it's just he just stayed. Right? So that's a lot of Agyata Sukriti. And then you have the guy for 20 years comes by, likes to come by, take prasad, you know, like that, devotees are nice, and then he goes back to his normal life. That just needs a little more Agyata Sukriti, right? You know, it just needs some time. That sounds sense. Okay. Austerity, dry speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, or charity cannot be the cause of bhakti. Right? Austerity means the proper performance of your duty. Right? That's the difference between austerity and penance. Austerity is performing your duty, that the mental thing that you're going to do it. Penance is the difficulties you come up with in performing it. Right? Because it's always, you don't have to separately look for it. You know, you don't have to go out there and stand on your toes, you know, with your hands outstretched to find difficulty.
Thank you.
Yeah? Right. To illustrate this point, in the next section of verses 23 to 31, Narada recounts a previous birth. Verses 23 to 31. Narada tells of his previous life. In this section, Narada tells Vyas how in his previous birth as a Shudra, Narada became fixed in the confidential devotional service of the Lord through the association of great Bhaktivedantas. Just as a side point, I've noticed it's just this point, you know, just how we're just going, yeah, okay. So, but Narada, he's discussing how in his previous life he has a Shudra. I've generally only seen this, that people who are advanced in their devotional service are comfortable and are able to say stuff like that. Like that. I only know a few devotees who are, they can talk about something that wouldn't be socially that great of a position or activity or even something that they, you know, like used to like, like that. You know, something, you know, basically harmless, but, you know, something we consider for kids or not really a very major thing. And they can talk about it so comfortably because it is a previous life. Right? So Narad Muni is it's there. So Purva Karma means previous life. So when you take up devotional service, what you're doing before is previous life. But it's not necessarily often that you can see that devotees can even talk about it. You know, comfortably. Yeah, I was doing this, or, you know, devotees are talking about, yeah, you know, we were born, you know, this place, and, you know, very poor family, in a poor neighborhood. Most devotees won't say that. They just won't. You know, but they'll say, yeah, like that, and you're there, and like that, huge family, you know, so at least, you know, difficulty or fight over everything. You know, so they talk about all these different things, and, you know, they just come up. Not that they're wanting to talk about it, but in a conversation, something comes up, and they just give example. But, yeah, no, we would do it like this. And just so, so here you see, this is because they don't identify with it.
Yes.
That's the thing. If we identify with it, then we're worried about our prestige or this or that, what people will think. That's the whole thing. Yes.
Isn't it also that we shouldn't actually talk too much about it?
No. That's there. But here he has a reason for talking about it. If there's a reason, what I'm talking about is they never talk about it, but when it does come up, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's not a problem. But I've only generally seen this in, you know, as a general, people who are advanced. Sometimes you see someone who's not, but they're very, you know, a very congenial and open person, very comfortable with themselves. Then they may have the natural character that they can do that on their own. But, you know, they would be, you know, as a karmi, the only ones talking like that. You know, but, does that make sense? So it's significant that he's talking about this. You know, not like saying, yes, in my last lifetime when I was a great, you know, Brahmin and doing this and that. No, he's this a Shudra, right? And Shudra is the son of a maidservant. So it's not even like a carpenter or a musician or, you know, a stapati or, you know, someone like that or, you know, a manager in a company or business or, a guard in the palace. He's son of a maidservant, right? No father, right? So even, you know, it just starts getting lower and lower. Right? You know, so that's the, yeah. And then, you know, then the main point is that from that position, then by the association of the Bhaktivedantas, Although Narad Muni was the son of a maidservant, and he was not properly educated, right? So that's another one, throw that into the mix, right? By the powerful action of the process of devotional service, he became an immortal sage. The wonder of an atmosphere surcharged with bhakti is briefly described herein. Quote, now kindly hear my own history. In the previous millennium, I was born the son of a maidservant who had the good fortune of rendering service to the Vedantist Brahmanas during the 4 months of Chaturmasya. That was his fortune. He doesn't mention anything else. When saintly persons stay in one place for study and austerity. Footnote 51. Previous to his birth as the son of a maidservant, Narada Muni was a Gandharva named Upabarhana. Due to offense, Upabarhana was cursed to be born as a Shudra. This story is recorded in Bhagavatam 7.15, 69 through 73. Sorry, you'll have to wait till the doctoral level for this story. Right? You get the preliminary now. Right? Though I was but a boy, my mother engaged me in looking after their personal affairs. I was fortunate in that I was self-controlled, though very young, and had no attraction to sports. I was not naughty, and I spoke no more than was required. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. Right. So now we're talking about another time, because we're talking about the end of the age, you know, just whenever it happens. So what it is that he's speaking about this means that this wasn't a general thing. Right? And so then these... how do you say? That these Vedantins, so they're there. So the Vedanta philosophy has always been there, right? Because Narad Muni's preaching it. Brahma's talking about it, right? Now, other sages give other opinions, right, of how to interpret the Veda. But Vedanta was always there. It's not that it's just been revealed now. It may have to be reawoken, right? Does that make sense? because that's the natural thing. It's always there first. These others, Gotama and Jaimini, then there's always someone who takes that role and does that documentation. So those philosophies are also always there. But they're not the natural one. They're there because people are in the material world. Right? When you go back to the spiritual world, there's only Vedanta. Right? That's why anybody who comes from there in here and preaches is so good at preaching. Because there is only one philosophy. Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Vedantists are four kumars, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti's
account. Oh, okay. Nice. It's not a bad four Bhaktivedantists. Couldn't have chosen a better four Bhaktivedantists, right? These Vedantist Brahmanas were pure devotees of the Lord. This is understood from 1.5.26. O Vyas, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. Right? So he's showing the process. Whatever your position, it's still the same process. Srila Prabhupada confirms in his purport to 1.5.23, right? Because here he is a Shudra. It's the same process. Sutta is describing it to the sages at Naimisharanya. You know, qualified Brahmins and Shaunaka Rishi, a very qualified Brahmin. Same process. And what are they describing? What Sukadeva Goswami has described to Parikit, who's a Kshatriya. Same process. Right? And again, then it'll go on later. Vidura, who is a Shudra, same process. Right? Does that make sense? So it's always the same process. That's the point. Again and again repeated, that it's always the same thing. Srila Prabhupada confirms in his purport to 1.5.23. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, quote, all the Vedas are searching after me, end quote. Lord Sri Chaitanya says that in the Vedas, the subject matters are only three, namely, to establish the relationship of the living entities with the personality of Godhead. Perform their relative duties in devotional service and thus achieve the ultimate goal back to Godhead. Right? So here is very clearly, because when Lord Chaitanya says it, then you could, it means this, that there is only three subject matters. So Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana is how all the Vedic subject matter is organized. But one could say is, no, that's discussed there. And there are other things discussed. Here Prabhupada then makes it very clear. No, that's all that's discussed. Right? All it is that the material world is connected to the Lord as part of his material pastimes. But they're not focusing on the connection with the Lord, they're just focusing on that particular aspect of the creation. Right? And so therefore it appears there's a different subject matter. But that's the whole point. Medicine isn't a different subject matter. The point is medicine is about balance in the body, mind, and words. Right? So the real balance comes from devotional service. Right? So the point is that due to the effect of the modes of nature, it may go out of balance due to one's karma or anything like that. Right? So how to put it back in balance? Right? Yes. Because one's activities are out of balance. So same way in the devotional service in the spiritual world, if due to the various engagement in devotional service, the ecstasies go out of balance, then there's a medical science to correct that. You understand? So it's all about Krishna, but here you can take it not seeing its connection to Krishna, so therefore it seems like it's its own science. And then when it comes up from simply speculation, you know, what happens when I eat this mushroom? And then he dies. And the guy next to him, okay, kids, don't eat that mushroom. What about this mushroom? You know, like that. Until finally they find the one that works. Right? You know, but you know, you never know how many, you know, French pioneers died, you know, to, you know, find that, you know, what is it, champignon, right? You know, like that. They finally found it, you know, like that, you know, like that. So the great martyrs of, you know, French culinary science. Yeah. But people don't make the connection.
Sacrifice.
Yes, the sacrifice that they made, the ultimate sacrifice. You know, they say, so until they finally find something you can eat. right? And then, you know, all the mistakes about, you know, doing this, and, hey, honey, can you get me that? Oh, no, I, you know, burnt this. Oh, hey, this tastes good. You know, so then it, you know, it goes in like, does that make sense? You know, or something fell in the water, and, you know, you're rolling your dough for your bread or something like that, and something drops in the water, and, oh, no, you fish it out, but, you know, it's not bad, you know. So, you know, like that. I heard waffles were, the husband, who was a knight, was wearing his chainmail, and the wife had taken a cake and put it on the windowsill, and he came into the kitchen and sat on it. And that made a waffle. You know, you can imagine, you know, whatever it is, you know, 50 kilos of, you know, iron, you know, it'll do something, right? You know, so. Can you imagine that? You know, the first 10 years until somebody made one, you know, he has to come in and go get your chain mail. Oh, man. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, the point is there's only three. So all it is when any of these sciences are extended, it's just people take that extension and don't make the connection. You know,
yes.
that's the thing. In modern academia, they always find that their consideration is the first chapter of basically every Vedic literature is interpolation, because it always talks about creation. And what has creation got to do with medicine or with stopping a Veda or with music? What's it got to do with it? You know, see, that's for, you know, quantum physicists. You know, why it's here is because that's the connection. Okay. As such, Vedantavadis, or the followers of the Vedanta, indicate the pure devotees of the personality of Godhead. Such Vedantavadis, or the Bhakti Vedantas, are impartial in distributing the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. To them, no one is enemy or friend. No one is educated or uneducated. No one is especially favorable, and no one is unfavorable. Right? Because the point is you're not an enemy or friend, because where is enemy and friend? On what platform? The body, the conditioning, yeah. Right? So you can be enemy or our friend on the condition level, but on the souls are not enemies or friends, right? Educated or not educated, that's on the condition level. But devotional service, that's the actual position, right? And favorable and unfavorable, it's not, because the soul is not doing. So that's that. So footnote 52. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the impartiality of the Bhaktivedantins as follows. Maybe we should break here, because otherwise that we get into so much footnote. Many footnotes. Yes. Okay, so we'll stop here and then start. Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Comments on the impartiality of the Bhaktivedantas as follows. Their first show of mercy did not depend on Narada's good qualities and show of respect. He developed the good qualities by their mercy. Then those qualities became the cause of further mercy. It must be explained that the cause of their mercy was not due to seeing qualities. One says that although they had equal vision, they showed mercy because he showed good qualities. Then their equal vision would be contradicted by their seeing good and bad qualities. One should not explain in this way, because then the first mercy would be prejudiced. Right. So in other words, he's a kid there, he's come to do something, and so then they show mercy. Because of that mercy, he developed these good qualities he talked about. All right? You know, that he was, what did he say? I was self-controlled, had no attraction to sports, was not naughty, spoke no more than required. So that came by the mercy of the Bhaktivedantins. Right? Because otherwise he's a kid. Right? There are two types of mercy. affected by seeing material qualities and not affected by seeing material qualities, right? Because it's not the material quality that is the qualification for devotional service, right? Somebody has good material qualities, then there's the element that because of piety, they may appreciate piety, right? A pious person appreciates piety. But the point is this, devotional piety is not material, it's spiritual. So it's not necessarily that they will, right? It's something different. But the chances is they may appreciate, you know, dealing nicely, kindness, knowledge. Generally those who are pious appreciate knowledge. They have respect. They have these things. So it just means that there is a favorable environment, but that's not actually the cause of giving mercy.
So their mercy is not partial.
No.
It's not dependent on anything. They're just mercy to everybody.
Yeah, wherever they come in contact. I mean, how many sons of maidservants walk into your room during Chatur Mas? You know, so you know if there had been 10, they would have all gotten mercy. Right? But then you see is then taking advantage of that, then there's further mercy. Right? So in other words, something is given, but then it's then when they respond to it, then you give more. So that's why the Lord is impartial, because anybody can approach him, but those who do, he's partial towards them. The first type of mercy is explained as follows. It means affected by seeing material qualities. All persons in the material world have mercy caused by qualities. If they see qualities, they show mercy. If the qualities are absent, they withdraw mercy. And if they see bad qualities, they show hatred. The second type of mercy is as follows. Those who are beyond the influence of material world show mercy without such causes, without dependence on seeing material qualities, since they see everything in the material world as the same. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if there's a garbage pile, it's all garbage. You know, it's not like, you know, oh, look at that garbage. Well, hey, there's some good garbage. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like that. That makes sense? Yes. So the point is that it's and their thing is all for service to the Lord. But the point is there is, since the whole universe is there, that means there's unlimited aspects of service, right? But how much service can you do? You understand? One has a qualification for a certain service, and so or an authority for a certain service, right? So then one is doing that. So any elder service is still seen as service to the Lord. It's just not your service. Does that make sense? Right? The four Kumaras are there. They're staying at the householder's place, right? Because otherwise, who has maid service? Right? You know, unless it was the maidservant's house, you know, that they came to stay. But it's not really clear because it's not important to the story. But it's a problem with the Bhagavatam. Subtleties are more subtle, so they're easier to lose. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Where's this? Where's the footnote from? Oh, there. Okay. Yes.
These two types of mercy. You can see the first one is like a material mercy.
Yes. Means you see good qualities, you show mercy. You don't see good qualities, you don't show mercy. And if you see bad qualities, then there's bad feelings or hatred, right? But he's explaining for the Bhaktivedantas, because they're transcendental. They don't see good or bad. It's all the material world. Oh, we were saying they're staying at the Grihastha's house. So the point is there's facilities at the Grihastha's house. So it's all Krishna's facilities, but they don't go, it's all Krishna's, so therefore I can use it. No, the point is they as sadhus in their position, then there's only certain, they engage in Krishna service in a particular way, according to their own duties. So they only use those aspects of the grihastha environment that are compatible with their service. And other aspects, it's not that it's all terrible and all this. It's just that it's not ours. It's not our service. You know, it's just like you have so much prasad. So your service is what's on your plate. What's on someone else's plate, that's their service, right? You know, and then there's the bucket. You know, that's another thing. That's up for discussion. It's not up for discussion? No.
I'm not going to go there now.
Okay. Okay. In other words, the bucket and what's on your plate is your service. And what you, by your mercy, put on someone else's plate, that's their service. Okay. That's okay?
That's good.
Okay, summarized properly. Does that make sense? So in other words, for these transcendentalists, even seeing elements that could be taken as sense gratification, for them it's not sense gratification, because anything in the material world is all for Krishna's service. And then on top of that, then, you know, within all that opportunities for service, they have their duties. So they just do their duties. That's also the austerity. You just do your duty. Right? Because otherwise the thing is to do everybody else's duty, at least all the good parts. You know? You know, it's just like, you know, how you say, go into the fridge, get the tub of ice cream, you know, get the spoon, you know, leave the lid on the counter, eat what you want, put the rest on the counter, and walk off. You know, you've done, you know, the part of the duties that you like. Now, putting the lid on, putting the spoon away, putting the ice cream, that's someone else's duty.
You've renounced that.
Yeah, renounced. So renounced. Like that.
Huh?
Sharing, yes, others can have, you know, as they like. But, you know, of course, your mom won't get home for another 3 hours because she's at work, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. My mom's always complaining about melted ice cream, you know, it's like a broken record. Broken record doesn't mean anything anymore, does it? Doesn't. Wow. But that doesn't play overnight. That just doesn't play. Yeah, what did they use now?
No name of the tree with a glitch. Yeah.
Glitch?
No name
of the
tree.
Like a no name MP3 player. Yeah. Have you said? Or it's just no one's around or even notices that someone keeps saying over and over again.
That's what music sounds like. Right?
No, that's what music is.
Yeah.
Okay. Narad Muni received the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas in the form of Mahaprasadam. Quote, with their permission, I was once able to take the remnants of the foodstuffs, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Verse 25. Narad Muni developed deep attachment to these exalted devotees and gradually became attracted to the spiritual topics they discussed. Right? So that means he didn't have before. So by their mercy he gained. Yes. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada glorifies the association with pure devotees. The illusion of Maya is at once dissipated as soon as one's full energy is converted in the service of the Lord instead of in sense gratification. Right? So at once dissipated as soon as the full energy is converted. So in other words, if you're only partially engaged, then she's only partially dissipated. Right? So they say, I'm doing devotional service, why so much Maya? Because there's parts that are not devotional service, and so that's the ones Maya is dealing with. From the personal example of Sri Narad Muni in his previous birth, it is clear that the service of the Lord begins with the service of the Lord's bona fide servants. The Lord says that the service of his servants is greater than his personal service. A pure devotee is a completely surrendered soul under the personality of Godhead. He knows the personality of Godhead as the supreme proprietor and all others as his servitors. And by the association of pure devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. Yeah, so that's the only way. One can get rid of sin accumulated by pure devotees only. A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee. and he should be very much obedient and strictly follow the instructions. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. There are many things which hinder one from entering devotional service, but by the association of pure devotees, all these obstacles are removed. The neophyte devotee becomes practically enriched with the transcendental qualities of the pure devotee, which means attraction for the personality of Godhead's name, fame, quality, pastimes, etc. Infection of the qualities of the pure devotee means to imbibe the taste of pure devotion, always in the transcendental activities of the personality of Godhead. This transcendental taste at once makes all material things distasteful. So the taste one has in devotional service is taste for pure devotion. Right? It's not a taste for a mixed devotional service. Right? Because if you look at it, okay, let us take that there's such a thing as taste for mixed devotional service. So then you have mixed devotional service. But then the point is then it becomes mixed again. And pretty soon, then what are you going to have? So it has to be pure devotional service that you have a taste for, but it's mixed because there are other desires also. Does that make sense? So what the devotee is attracted to is pure devotional service, but it's not consistent. Therefore, neophyte, when it becomes consistent, then it's madhyama. When it becomes, you know, intensified and that, you know, and focused, then it becomes the uttama platform, right? When it becomes complete, then it's prema. The whole idea is that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, one can become one of the associates of the Lord. One can attain to this highest perfection of life simply by attentive hearing of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord from the right sources, as Sri Narad heard them from the pure devotees, Bhakti Vedantins, in his previous life. This process of hearing in the association of the devotees is especially recommended in this age of quarrel, Kali. Right? Because that means it's not that you don't hear in other ages, but how much did Narad Muni hear? Yeah, very little. They were only there 4 months. But we don't hear of him, we hear of him after that just going off and wandering the world for the rest of his life. You understand? Or how much time did Dhruva Maharaj spend with Narad Muni? Also, very little. So, here means in all ages you have to hear in the association of the devotees. But in Kali Yuga it's recommended that that be as much as possible. Constant. Right? So one should situate oneself in these. Therefore, the need for the mission. Therefore, the need for temples. Right? Therefore, that then you have something to associate with. Right? Therefore, the need of, from that basis, developing communities that support each other. Right? Does that make sense? So it all stems from this need of regular association. Yes. Yes, it means that's the whole point, that they're considered unfortunate. You know, the memory is very short. So even though you figure out, wow, this is great, then you forget it. And, or, you know, this is terrible, then you forget. Or, you know, this is, yes, this is the ultimate goal, then you forget. So that's the problem. So it's forgetfulness of the Lord is the, that's why you always remember, never forget. You know, that's the rules. Yeah. Are you always remembering? Yes, so don't forget. Yeah, so. Next, Narad.
Yeah, no, it's just, are you always remembering? No, no, I forgot.
What are we supposed to remember? Yeah. Next, Narad Muni describes the miraculous results of listening to Krishna Katha. Quote, partaking in the remnants of the Bhaktivedanta's foodstuff eradicated my sins, purified my heart, and there rose in me an attraction to the transcendental path of life. I became attentive to their discussions, and my taste for hearing about the Lord increased step by step. By this higher taste, it became clear to me that I had accepted the gross and the subtle coverings only due to ignorance. As time passed, by the hearing process, these coverings vanished. At the same time, my attachment to these sages became very strong. I began strictly following them in body and mind, 25 to 28. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in verses 1, 5, 23 to 28, Srila Narad Muni outlines the stages of bhakti as they were already described in the second chapter. From verse 1524. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with their causeless mercy. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled and had no attachment for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty and I did not speak more than qualified. The four initial stages are indicated. Satam Kripa, mercy of devotees. Mahat Seva, service to the devotees. Shraddha, faith developed as a result of service to the devotees. And Guru Parashraya, surrender to the Guru. So we see how it is that Shraddha is where we generally start the process, but that Shraddha only comes because of Satam Kripa and Mahat Seva.
Yes.
Right? Then from that Shraddha developed as a result of service, then we take shelter of Guru. And you know, in other words, we're serving devotees already, so then we take shelter of Guru, then we take up the process seriously. From verse 1525, once only by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at the same time the very nature of the transcendentals became attractive to me. The five stages are described. Bhajaneshu spriha, desire for worship, bhaktihi. Anartha pagamam. Clearance of anarthas, tata nishta, steadiness, ruchi, taste. Right? So you can see is that he's gone through all these, you know, within 4 months. So he's not an ordinary kid.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
There were a couple in Jaina Dharma also who did some excellent progress.
Yeah, yeah. No, but you'll see even more when you get into, what do you call it? Yeah, same kind of thing in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And that also, same, very qualified. From verses 1, 5, 26, 27. O Vyasadeva, in that association and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. O great sage, as soon as I got a taste for the personality of Godhead, my attention to hear of the Lord was unflinching, and as my taste developed, I could realize it was only in my ignorance that I accepted gross and subtle coverings. For both the Lord and I are transcendental. Asakti and Bhava are indicated. Atashakti, then firm attachment, and Ratihi, Bhava. Right? Because the thing is here. Now, why would we say it was why we went into Bhava? How would you tell that? Because before he said, the nature of the transcendence became attracted to me. Okay. Right? So it's the nature of the transcendentalist. Right? And then in here, hearing them, I increased at every step my attraction for them, the personality of hearing of the personality of Godhead. The other was the nature of the transcendentalist. Right? This is the personality of Godhead, because remember the difference is you're switching from that taste deepens from simply the activities of the transcendentalist to about the personality of Godhead. Right? And then here saying, and as my taste developed, right? Because in other words, it's just like a Shraddha developed. You can say no, but he used the word taste, so it's about ruchi. No, because the point is not once you come to Ruchi, then Ruchi is going to be there eternally. It's just it's going to develop more. And as taste developed, because I could realize that it was only in my ignorance that I accepted the gross and subtle coverings, for both I and the Lord are transcendental. What position does that place him at? Yeah, because he's transcendental now, Brahma Bhuta. Right? Because if we also remember, is Ruchi and Asakti are preliminary stages of Bhava. Because in other words, that element of Rati, right? That attraction to the Lord, then in taste, then it becomes dynamic. Asakti even more. And then it comes to Rati, where that attraction is there. Does that make sense? So you always have these overlaps. So here he went through all these. He shows these 12. It's still the 9 aspects. So it's just that the Sata, Kripa, Mahat, Seva are become part of Shraddha. Because if you only get Shraddha, that's the cause of Shraddha. It's not the Shraddha just, you know, you got it, you know, the fortune cookie, you open it, and now you are blessed with Shraddha. You know, it's not like that. Or you found it in a, I don't know, but yeah, like that. Yeah, cereal box, you know, this little prize inside. And you open it up. Wow, look, Mom, I got prema. Oh, you're so fortunate. God bless Mr. Papa.
You could already be a winner.
Huh?
You could already be a winner.
You could already be a prema Baba. Just take up chanting 16 rounds for it. It's the association of devotees. Okay. And then we see bhajana, spriha, desire for worship, and bhakti, the actual performance of worship. That would be your bhajana kriya. Right? Then after that, then it just goes straight through. Right? In other words, what's important here is bhajana kriya happens because there's a desire for it. And that's applying it. Because bhajana kriya means the practice of devotional service. But what we're pointing out here, what the acharya is pointing out, is that the desire for worship is there so that you do take up bhajana kriya or bhakti. Right? That makes sense.
So they can be one.
Yes. Yes. That's what we're saying, is that if you condense those, you end up with 9. So, in other words, this is very, very important. Because otherwise you could say, you know, oh, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is listing, you know, 12 items. But then in Madhurya Kadambani he's only giving 9. This is so confusing. What's the real... You understand? There is never any contradiction. It just doesn't happen. It just is a lack of our ability to accommodate.
That is sources of knowledge. Have 3 and others have 8 just included in our 3.
Yes, they're already included. It's not that, oh, everybody has different. No, everybody has the same. Like that. It's just that, you know, I mean, they may have different, but we have all the same. You know, whatever they have, we have.
Mm-hmm. And that is
kind of. Okay.
Nice.
Yes.
But can we say that, for example, in that case, Satan, Pipa, Mahatseva, and Shraddha is giving more explanation about the case of Narada Muni?
No, it's just the process. He's just bringing out that process, and then it's documented. In other words, if you'll see in his explanations to Shraddha the Prema,
yes,
that all these points will be made, but we'll just remember Shraddha.
Yes.
That's the thing. Right? Because he makes the point, it's only by the mercy of the devotees that you develop the faith anyway. But here he's bringing out is that by the mercy of the devotees, then you get an interest in that service. And then by that service, then you get that Shraddha. Right? So it's not just by their mercy, it's that by applying that mercy in service, then Shraddha develops. So all it is that here it's showing these stages, but how you say? In other words, these other two, without the mercy and without the service, you won't get Shraddha.
Yes.
So since Shraddha is the beginning of devotional service, because those first two is Agyata Sukriti.
Yes.
But at Shraddha, then you can say now it turns into devotional service. Right? But then it only, you can say it more turns into devotional service when the desire for worship is there and then you apply it. So the bhakti aspect of bhajana kriya. Right? Then you can say, well, that actually starts when you become stable. Then you can say, well, it really, really starts when you get a taste. And that, you know, so it just keeps going. Is that okay? Yeah. So in other words, the point of being able to reconcile all these seemingly contradictory points, because they're not contradictory. They're just different angles. In other words, from the story of Narad Muni, he's bringing out these details. So he'll be the example. But the process is always the same. Right? Like that.
Yeah. Can I talk about part of these same points in the second chapter? Exactly the same. And that was the general description of not being one particular person.
Okay. Second chapter means Bhagavad.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that's right. This is the second time we've gone through these. Right. So now he's specifically showing an example of Narad Muni. From verse 1:5:28. Thus, during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, right? Because each season is 2 months, right? There's six seasons in the year. I had the opportunity to hear these great-souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of the Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. Prema is described. Right? So that brings us to that. The last two stages of the process of bhakti will be described in chapter 6, footnote 53.
How can we point out prema here?
Because the how do you say?
It just began.
Oh, the coverings of passion, ignorance. So there is nothing other than the, how do you say? There is nothing mixed. Right? So then, since we've already established, asakti and bhava, then that would mean that you have there's the element of I'm advanced and I'm a guru of devotees. So these are ignorance and passion on the transcendental platform. So those then are removed. Or you could say passion, meaning one's own comfort in the facilities of the spiritual world and one's duties within the, you know, community of Vrindavan. Does that make sense? In that ignorance of, identifying. Right? Even though it's all transcendental. Because the point is Mother Jashoda, means that Mother Jashoda and her form are non-different. But does she identify that form as her, or she's a servant of Krishna as her? You understand? So they're subtle. So even they're not thinking, I'm my spiritual body. Because then it's the spiritual body is the manifestation of their I-ness. It's not it's the other way around. You understand? So then you're dealing with these more subtle elements. And also he says, flow of my devotion. Right? And then, also Vishwanath points out that prema is where bhakti starts. So now the flow of devotion began. So now if you're going to say, bhava, and then devotional service begins, that also then indicates prema. Okay? So, but the point is the same principles are applying at all the levels. Right? So the same thing is, as that association, then the passion and ignorance are vanquished, and then one understands I'm servant of Krishna, so then you get Shraddha. Right? And then as my passion and ignorance start to go, then I take up seriously the process of devotional service. Then as the passion and ignorance go, I become steady. As the passion and ignorance go, I get a taste. You understand? As that passion and ignorance go, then, that brings you to asakti and bhava. When that passion and ignorance brings it. So it's always, in other words, it's the mix. It's also here he said, unadulterated glories of the Lord. Constantly chant to hear. So there also is the subtle thing is, he could hear the unadulterated glories. So it's just like, we'll be hearing, how much do we hear? We'll be hearing and going, did I turn the gas off? It's like, something like that. You're just imagining You know, what if it blows up? You know, what if this? What if somebody walks in? You know, what if the parakeet dies? You know, it's, you know, all these things are going on, and we're sitting there in class. You know, then all the scenarios, it blew up, how it blew up, and then would we be able to, how would we save the situation after that? And then, you know, we would have to do some serious, you know, propaganda, you know, on Facebook. Oh, no, this happened, but it was because of this. It's not a regular thing. Generally never happens. Only a million to one, so therefore it's not a problem renting from us. You know, going on. You know, like that. You know, so, you know, all the different things like that. And then at the end, then, you know, then they're sitting there and then, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Yeah, great class. So here it says, you know, it's that opportunity to hear. So, you know, so like that, it means he actually was on this platform really hearing, you know, because he's already come to the platform of samadhi. So then.
Constantly.
Constantly, yes. Yes, constantly. Yeah. So basically in 4 months he went through the whole process. Shraddha to praying. So it is possible. You know, Kadbanga Maharaj did it in a moment. So 4 months is, you know, a decent amount of time. You know.
It's a good bhakti program.
Yes. So you're entering this program now, you don't have faith, but, you know, by the time you finish in 4 months, you will have prema. Yeah, it doesn't say the eight again after that. Yeah, I mean, in our temple, our idea was in 3 years of joining, you'd be a pure devotee. Like that. It could be a madhyama, you know, pure devotee, but it didn't, you know, it was just, we were thinking praying about 3 years. And I'm like, wow, yeah, that's a long time. But, you know, it's doable. Okay, footnote 53. Srila Prabhupada summarizes the advancement in bhakti in his purport to 1534. The summary is that one has to, first of all, seek the association of pure devotees, who not only are learned in the Vedanta, but are self-realized souls and unalloyed devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Right? So, learned in Vedanta, not in other things. Means that they know Vedanta and other things, great. But Vedanta means that you actually know the philosophy, because that's what he heard is Vedanta. Right? But are self-realized souls, so they understand I'm servant of Krishna. Right? Not the body. Unalloyed devotees, that they're not interested in anything else. Right? And that means the personality of Godhead, not Krishna, Brahman, Krishna, Paramatma, but personality of Godhead. In that association, the neophyte devotee must render loving service physically and mentally without reservation. Because if there's reservation, that's ignorance, so it'll slow down the process. This service attitude will induce the great souls to be more favorable in bestowing the mercy. Right? So they've already given mercy, but now it'll inspire them to give more mercy, which injects the neophyte with all the transcendental qualities of the pure devotees. Right? So that means, that's why he said, the first is not they had qualities, because even if you have all material qualities, it doesn't matter. It's just the causeless mercy. Then as those qualities are engaged in the Lord's service, so if you didn't have them, by the mercy of devotees, you develop them and then engage them. Or you had them, right, and then having gotten their mercy, not based on that, but then you engage them in the Lord's service, both will get the mercy. The point is the engagement of the qualities now in the Lord's service, right, not otherwise. Right, so bhakti is independent, right? Gradually, this is developed into a strong attachment to hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which makes him able to catch up the constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies, and beyond them the knowledge of pure soul and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Soul, the personality of Godhead. After the relation is ascertained by establishment of the eternal relation, pure devotional service to the Lord begins gradually developing into perfect knowledge of the personality of Godhead, beyond the purview of the impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. By such Purushottama Yoga, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is made perfect even during the present corporal existence. and one exhibits all the good qualities of the Lord to the highest percentage, such as the gradual development by association of pure devotees. Now, your Prabhupada focused it all around this association, because the whole point is we tend to say, okay, we've done the association, now we move on. And so that devotees get more advanced, then their kind of devotional service may stagnate. And, you know, where's the taste, where's the this and that? But the point is that association of the devotees still going on. Because before we discuss more of that, Shraddha is there. If the faith is not there, then naturally it'll drop. But that faith comes by the association and service. So if that's not there, why would the Shraddha be there? If the Shraddha's not there, how is it going to be act in a more mature state? Right? So this. So here he's saying, we first of all seek the association, right? And that association must render service, right? So we seek that association only by their mercy. So that's already been established. So seeking that, then we render service. You know, your bhajana kriya, right? Without the service, and the grace souls to be more favorable, bestowing the mercy which injects the neophyte with all the transcendental qualities of pure devotees. Now, if you have the transcendental qualities, means anarthas are over, steadiness is there, and a taste has come. Right? Gradually, this is developed into a strong attachment, asakti, to hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which makes one able to catch up to the constant position, you know, means of bhava, or Brahma-Bhuta, the gross and subtle bodies, and beyond them to the knowledge of the pure soul and eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, right? The personality of Godhead. After the relation is ascertained by establishment of the eternal relation. Right? So after the relation is ascertained by establishment of eternal relation. Right? So why is he mentioning it twice? Means in other words, you have your nature as servant. Then you take up that service in that particular form. As we mentioned, until you have the attitude of the Brajbasis, then Siddha Sarup has no meaning. Because the form only has meaning if it's applied according to the mood of Braja. But the mood of Braja is a generic mood. We take it, no, we have that specific mood. And no, there's a general mood. Braja, everyone is surrendered in unalloyed devotion. Dwarka, everyone's surrendered in that mood. Vaikuntha, in that mood. Ayodhya, in that mood. Then you have a specific within that. Right? That make sense? After the relation is ascertained by establishment of the eternal relation, right? It means of pure unalloyed devotion. Then your relationship is ascertained. Then you can understand your position. Then pure devotional service to the Lord begins, gradually developing, right? So that means now it becomes dynamic in bhav sadhana, right? Into perfect knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So perfect knowledge is prema. We see how Prabhupada did it around that association, based on the instructions. Right? So then that adds even a more important element, is that Vishwanath's given these nine stages, and then given some, you know, in his explanations, extensions on what makes what work. But now Prabhupada's shown that the central feature, you know, which we've seen up to now in all the chapters before this, is over and over again said, it's by the mercy and association of the devotees that this happens. So now he's shown it in that relation. Right? So then we understand that it's not just that, just, you know, chronological progression, but that association is what's constant all the way through. Is that? Yeah. Okay, the last two stages of the bhakti process will be described in chapter 6. 1. Atta darshanam. From prema arises realization, vijnanam, of the Lord's form, qualities, pastimes, and powers. Right? And 2. Harer madhur yanubhava. Direct experiences of Krishna's sweetness. Right? So then, that realization of the form and all, that means realization of, means you're interacting, your senses are perceiving the form. Right? Means all of this makes a form, the qualities, pastimes, powers. And then you experience that. Right? So you know, so there's more. Nara concludes. These Bhaktivedantas instructed me in the confidential truths of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I understood that by knowing that everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by the energy of Sri Krishna, it is possible to return to Him and personally meet Him. That's another thing. Return to Him and personally meet Him. Text 29 to 31.
Again, created, maintained,
annihilated. No, this is now He's concluding. Yeah, so conclusion always then brings everything back together. And so in other words, by understanding the Lord is the cause of all the creation, maintenance, and annihilation by the energy of Krishna, then you can return to Him, because then you know everything about Him. Right? But that's only going to be gained in the association of the pure devotees. Right? Because understanding this, we get out of the material world. Right? And by that association, we're hearing about the name, form, qualities of Krishna. That gets us into the spiritual world. But the point is it's all part of, you know, Krishna's pastimes. So it's not that. Okay, that's 29 and 31. In his commentary on 1.5.30, Jiva Goswami states, by confidential truths, Narada was referring to the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, 2.9.33.30-36, footnote 54. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation. Oh, this is even more, right? So in other words, here, knowing by is created, maintained, and annihilated by the energy of Sri Krishna, then you've also brought in the element of the Chatushloki. Does that make sense? Yeah. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Right? So then that's the... Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. Right? So in other words, the material nature is the cause of creation. So those who see that way are correct on one point. But the point is before creation, the material nature wasn't there either. So that means the Lord is the cause of the material nature, and the material nature is the cause of the creation. So He's the efficient cause, then she's the material cause. So that what you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I. Right? So what you see now is the personality of Godhead. We generally think, oh, it's, you know, bricks and sand and trees and like that. But that's also Krishna. Because the point is it's His energy that's doing that. It's Him. It's His desire that you know, that these are the way things work. So therefore, it is Him. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Right? So, therefore, He's created, He's maintained, He's destroyed. Right? And it's His energies. Then everything's connected. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Because it's not actually, it's illuminated, but we are in darkness. Because right? It's Brahman, how will it be in darkness? O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created. At the same time, I am outside of everything. So also understanding the creation, right? And the personality. A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. So it means there's not a situation where you shouldn't be. So one say, no, we're being practical here. Point is then you're missing the point. It's still Krishna. Right? So then, you know, being indicated here is when he's saying, is that I understood that by knowing, okay, these Bhaktivedanta instructed me in the confidential truths of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I understood that by knowing that everything is created, maintained, and annihilated by the energy of Sri Krishna, it's possible to return to Him and personally meet Him. And so it's indicating the Chatushloki. Okay? Yes.
what's the definition of adult in a good sense and adult in a bad sense? Do you like a more false simplification?
I don't know. What comes to mind is a mature kid or a big kid.
The basis of the word adult is contaminated.
Contaminated.
Adulterate something.
Oh, okay. So they lose the purity.
Yes.
So therefore, that's why Gurukul, so you maintain that purity. So when you transfer into adulthood. Right, because in the you know Vedic tradition, if someone's not married, they're considered a boy, because then there's no adulteration. So adulteration begins with when one gets married, right? So, but then the element is by that training, then one has the qualities by which to apply. So in other words, you're dealing in a atmosphere which adulteration can take place, and because you're an adult, then it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Somehow or another, it's just like adults, as they do all this nonsense, but they really, it means even the worst karmis generally freak out if their kids are doing what they do as adults. You know? Because it is adulterated, but I guess because they're adults, then therefore adulteration is okay. That's interesting. The word uses is there.
I was just asking because in the connection, like Maharani's synopsis here was very simple.
Yes.
It was like innocence.
No, because the point is the devotional process is very pure. It's very simple. I mean, it's like he says, all the Vedic rules and regulations go down to two. Always remember Krishna, never forget. Everything else is an expansion on that. Mm-hmm. You know, how to always remember, how to never forget. So everything just goes back to there. By confidential truth, Narada was referring to the Chatushloki Bhagavatam 2.9.33-36. This knowledge is far above impersonal knowledge. That's why then twice he's mentioning about the personality, or three times. Narada wanted Vyasadeva to emphasize the same sacred truths in his own writings. So here he opens with devotees, confidential truths of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know everything is created, maintained, and that by the energy of Sri Krishna. Second time. It is possible to return to him and personally meet him. Right? Third time. So that in two sentences, it's been mentioned about the personality three times. Right? So that's Narada Muni's point. You know? How you say? Emphasize.
Yes.
Okay. So stop here. Stop class tomorrow. Has it been mentioned about? Okay. So it'll be class today. I mean, today, tomorrow, full days. But then Thursday, Friday, and then the next Monday, Tuesday, there'll be no classes. It will start again from the following Thursday. Not from this Thursday, but Thursday week. Okay. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Janatai Gaura Premanandini.